You are worthy to be praised and to be honored, to be exalted, Lord. Thank you that you are exalted. King of kings and Lord of lords. The lover of our souls. We worship you this morning, Father. We give honor and praise to you. Lord, there's nothing else in our lives that we want to do is to honor and worship our God. How wonderful, how marvelous. Praise your name. Amen. You may be seated. Good morning. Before I start with the message the Lord has laid in my heart, I just want to encourage you. Now this morning, early I came to the intercession. And for a short while, I was there all by myself. And then, of course, the enemy starts whispering in your ear. Do you really have a word from God this morning? Is it words of life that you will speak? Or is it just because you were asked to preach a sermon? So, a seerde preek. Now, it reminds me, maybe you've heard the story of the guy in the hot air balloon. He got into this hot air balloon and they released him. He went up and all of a sudden there was a mist that came over and it enveloped him and he couldn't see where he was. So he shouted down, he says, "Where am I?" This thunderous voice came from the bottom. He says, "You are in the air." Thought for a while, and he shouted back, he says, "Well, I've concluded three things. With a thunderous voice like that, you must be a charismatic pastor. The second thing is, what you said to me is the truth. Thirdly, this truth helps me nothing." So, I really trust that the words I will speak to you this morning was really truth. Eventually, more people came in, and a sister just confirmed my message this morning. She was praying, "God, let me go out of this place with peace, with vrede in ons hart." And the title of her message is about peace. Now, I just want to share with you how I got this message. During December, we had a family reunion. We went up right up to Limpopo, and in a place called near Bella Bella, it's called Glen Kariba, beautiful in the mountains. And to get to the place, once we went through the gates, it's amazing that anybody finds their dwelling because it's right in the bushes and it's camouflaged. And eventually, Delesi and I were driving, and another car approaches and they stopped. They said, "Excuse me, sir, but you are in a one way." I said, "Well, I am going one way, but I don't know which way to go now." So eventually they took me to my hut. So you get lost so easily. That afternoon, one of my kids arrived with his family, one son and two daughters. And the little boy said, about 4:30, he says, "I want to go swimming." So, "You know where to go to?" "Yeah, you'll find the way." So he's down, he disappeared. All of a sudden, 8 o'clock, it was, of course, you know, that gets dark very soon. And about 8 o'clock, the phone rings, and it's his eldest sister. And she's in tears, and she's sobbing. She says, "Opa, my brother's missing." And she was hysterical. So I ran over to her. My son had gone looking for his son, and the mom had taken the car, gone in another direction. This kid was hysterical. I said, "Right, let's pray." We prayed for the peace of God. And we prayed that their search would be successful. So, while holding her there, about 20 minutes later, my son and his son arrived, and everything was well. The peace of God. Now, I selected or chose a scripture here that usually is a Christmas sermon, But this is most appropriate for my text this morning to you. And it's some of the most familiar and happy words of Christmas are these in Luke 2, verse 11 to 14. For unto us a child is born this day in the city of David, a Savior who is Christ the Lord, and this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased. Now the Old King James and the New King James, a translation of the Bible, translated this verse 14b, on earth peace and goodwill towards men. Now, virtually all the modern translations agree that this was not a correct translation. The NIV says, and on earth, peace on men on whom his favor rests. The NASB says, on earth, peace among those with whom he is pleased. Now, there are three relationships of peace. And my greatest desire for all of us this year of 2015, that is, you and I will enjoy this peace. And we know that there are global aspects of this peace that are still lie in the future, as Habakkuk 2 verse 14 says, the earth will be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. And Isaiah 9 verse 7 says, of the increase of his government and of peace there will be no end. Again, the glory of God and peace on earth. But Jesus came to inaugurate that peace among God's people, people on whom, with whom he is well pleased. And there are three relationships in which he wants us to pursue this peace and enjoy his peace. The first one is peace with God. Second one is peace with your own soul, that is, with yourself. And three, peace with other people as much as it lies in you. And by peace, I mean not only the absence of conflict or animosity, but also the presence of joyful tranquility and as much richness of interpersonal communication as you are capable of. The key to each of them, my brothers and sisters, is not to separate what the angels kept together, namely the glory of God and the peace that you long for. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace. These two go together. Now let's look at the first one. Peace with God. The most basic need we have is peace with God. And this is foundational to all our pursuits of peace. If we don't go here first, all other experiences of peace will be superficial and temporary. And the key passage here is Romans 5 verse 1. Therefore, since we have been justified by faith, now that's the pivotal act of believing, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. As you know, justified means that God declares you to be just in his sight by imputing to you the righteousness of Christ. And he does that by faith alone. Since we have been justified by faith, not by works, because our best works are like filthy rags before God. Not by tradition. The Afrikaanse Bible says, die traditie van mense maak die woord van God krachteloos. Not by baptism. Some denominations believe that you are regenerated the moment that you are baptized. Je wordt wedergeboren als je gedoopt wordt. That is not true. not by church membership either. Or any denomination that you would belong to. I can remember years ago when we were still living up in the north in Limpopo, we belonged to a Pentecostal church. We had a dear brother, a saint. Man, he was such an inspiration, him and his wife. He was born and bred in the Pentecostal church, and his wife, I presume later on that she came from another background. But she was a very good supporter of him and the church. And then all of a sudden, this little brother died. But after about 4 days, our pastor came to me and says, Johnny, I don't know what to do because this dear sister hasn't contacted me about funeral arrangements. So I said, well, let's go and see her. So we went to see her, and we said to her, but sister, now, when are we going to bury this brother? She says, no, it's already been done. I spoke to the Dominie. I said, but why? She says, well, just in case the Dutch Reformed has always been right. So she was depending on her denomination to save. It's not by piety. Jy kan lyk asof botter nie in jou mond kan smelt nie. But my sisters, brothers and sisters, if you do not know the Lord, you will not make it. Not by parentage, but by faith alone. When we believe in Jesus as the Savior and the Lord and the supreme treasure of our lives, we are united with him, to him, and his righteousness is counted by God as ours. We are justified by faith. And I want to use this quote. Good people don't go to heaven. Only those who believe. Do you realize how many good people are out there? Wonderful people that many times put us Christians to shame. And what Derek said about giving, those people, the philanthropists, they give millions to feed the poor, for medical research, much more than what all our good works put together. Yet one day when they stand before God in judgment, what will they say to him? Because they did not believe, he will say to them, I do not know you. And the result is peace with God. God's anger at us because of sin is put away. Our rebellion against him is overcome. God adopts us into his family, and from now on, all his dealings with us are for our good. He will never be against us. He is our Father, our friend, and we have peace. We do not need to be afraid anymore. This is foundational to all other peace. Second one is peace with ourselves. And because we have peace with God, because of being justified by faith, we can begin to grow in the enjoyment of peace with ourselves. And here I want to include any sense of guilt or anxiety that tends to paralyze us and to make us hopeless. Here again, believing the promises of God with a view to glorifying God in our lives is key. Philippians 4, verse 6 to 7 says, is one of the most precious passages in this regard. Do not be anxious about anything. That's the opposite of anxiety, is peace. But in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. In other words, roll your anxieties onto God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. I remember holding my little granddaughter. She was crying. And then she said to me, she says, you know, Opa, I've read that the phrase fear not, or its equivalent, appears 365 times in the Bible. That's one fear not for each day of the year. So I said, right, let's take it. We will not fear. Your brother will be safe. 2 Timothy 3, I'm reading this in Afrikaans. And the last day sal daar swaar tye kom. The last days, there will be difficult times. En die mense sal selfsugtig wees. People will become selfish and greedy. Hulle sal liefdeloos wees en wreed. They'll be without love and cruel. Now, isn't that an apt description of what's going on in the world and even in our own beautiful country? Look at the greed and the selfishness and the cruelty that's taking place. But then John 14:27 says, peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives to do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Now the picture here is that our hearts and our minds are under assault, are under attack. Guilt, worries, threats, confusion, uncertainties, wrong perceptions, presumption, they all threaten our peace. And Paul says that God wants to guard our hearts and our minds, and he guards that with his peace. He guards them in a way that goes beyond what human understanding can fathom, which surpasses all understanding. My brothers and sisters, don't limit the peace of God by what your understanding can see. He gives us inexplicable peace, and he does it when we take our anxieties to him in prayer and trust him that he will carry them for us and protect us. 1 Peter 5 verse 7 says, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. When we do this, when we come to him, and remember, we already have peace with him, and trust him as our loving and almighty Heavenly Father to help us, his peace comes to us and protects us from the disabling effects of fear, anxiety, and guilt. And then we are able to carry on. And our God gets the glory for what we do because we trusted him. My brothers and sisters, do it this year. Take your anxieties to God. Tell him about them. Ask him to help you, to protect you, and to restore your peace, and then to use you to make peace. Remember what Dean said last Sunday? How can I pray for peace in the Middle East, the peace of Jerusalem, if I do not have peace in my own soul? Impossible. The last one, peace with others. The third relationship in which God wants us to enjoy his peace is in our relationship with others. And this is the one we have the least control over. So we need to say it carefully the way Paul does in Romans 12 verse 18. He says, if possible, so far as it depends on you, live peaceably with all men. The New Living Translation says, do all that you can to live in peace with everyone. Now, for many of us, when we get together, especially my family, when we get together for Christmas or a family reunion, and or with our Christian family here on a Sunday morning, or in the cell groups, or wherever we have fellowship with one another, there will be some awkward and painful relationships. Some of the pain is very old, and some of it is new. In some relationships, you know what you have to do, no matter how hard it is. And in some of them, you are baffled and don't know what the path of peace calls for. Conflict happens in the best of families. Now, you know, my favorite music, gospel music, is the American Southern Gospel. Oh, look at them smile there to me. You know, the Gaithers and all those. I just love that music. Now, I've got about, don't think I'm wasting my money. I've got about 80 of those CDs, DVDs. And in one of them, they have an interview with Eva May Lefevre. Now, she was a gospel singer, and they had a quartet. And Eva May's over 90 years old. So they said to her, Eva, what would you like to do different if you could have your life over? And she said, no, there's nothing I would change. She says, praise God for my 8 children. and my 25 grandchildren. It is so wonderful, so blessed. When we get together for a family reunion, there's so much joy and love and laughter. And then about 3 days later, all hell breaks loose. You see, iron sharpens iron. People, God puts us together and we rub all the rough edges off each other. Now, when iron sharpens iron, the sparks are bound to fly. So, it happens in the best of families. But whatever you go through, my brothers and sisters, do not withdraw from fellowship. Whatever you go through, do not withdraw from fellowship. We are family. You can choose your friends, but God has placed us in a family. Now, the other day, I just want to slip this in. I picked up a Joy magazine. It's the November 2014 edition. Maybe you've read that. There's an article, Why People Leave Church. I'm deviating a little bit now. All right. Why People Leave Church. Has anybody read that? My goodness, you only read the Sunday Slimes and not the Joy magazine. Eh? Now, he gives a lot of reasons. I just want to mention three of them. He says, the first one is blatant or hidden sin. I'm going to read that. He says, sin can be blatant or camouflaged. Blatant sin falls into the category of public sin, like an affair, stealing, bad business practice, etc. In spite of being willing to help a member and walk the road of reconciliation, this aid is often rejected, and these people leave the church backsliding and growing cold in their relationship with God. I spoke to a brother in this week who admitted this. Prodigal sons and daughters are in all churches. Sadly, some people find it easier to change their beliefs than change their behavior. Camouflage sin refers to cases when the true reason for leaving are not given to the pastor. Other reasons, usually not related to the truth, are offered, such as, the Lord has led me to another church, or I feel my season is over in this church. Those are camouflage sins. Second one is a bad experience in church. Now, who hasn't had a bad experience in church? Perhaps somebody got into a serious argument with another member and they disagree so strongly that in their eyes, leaving the church is the only answer. Business deals between members can also go sour, or people take their offenses because they were ignored or not given enough attention. Now, I spoke to a dear brother in Christ. He was a property developer. And he said to me, he says, you know, when I sell a property to an unsafe person, I get a good lawyer to draw up a contract. If I sell a property to a family member, I get two good lawyers to draw up the contract. He says, if I sell the property to somebody who tells me that he is a brother, born again Christian, he says, I get three good lawyers to draw up a contract. What an indictment against the body of Christ. Brothers and sisters, but this is reality. Feeling unloved and uncared for when going through storms of life also causes people to make a decision to leave. Then this last one, which is so applicable to us. Isolation. Generally, people who do not build any friendships at a church within the first few weeks of attending move on. Sometimes people are affected because their friends leave. If they don't make new friends in the church within a short space of time, they too will leave. It has been found that if people have friends in the congregation, they will endure almost anything. Bad preaching, even if there are changes in style, worship, structure, service times, location, or leadership, these will not affect them. Listen to this. Christian fellowship has been found to be the glue that holds a local church together. And if you want to make people feel part of the church, you have to offer them relationships. Now, I don't want to put you on the spot. Who of you have just recently started attending this church? Put up your hands. Hi, keep them there. Keep them. Can you please just stand? I want you to stand. I want you to stand. Now, the rest of you, look around. If you want to see these people again, you better make friends with them. They must be welcomed. Amen. Thank you very much. Thank you very much. Because you know what? Psalm 92 verse 13 says, those who are planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of the Lord. Isn't that wonderful? What are the consequences of forgiving others? Proverbs 11 verse 17 says, your own soul is nourished when you are kind. It is destroyed when you are cruel. Second one, it elevates us. Proverbs 19 verse 11, a wise man restrains his anger and overlooks insults. This is to his credit. That is the joy of forgiving. And you know what, my brothers and sisters? Apologizing, asking for forgiveness, doesn't mean that you are wrong and the offending party is right. But what it means is that your relationship means much more to you than your own ego. It takes nothing off my skin to say, I'm sorry. What are the consequences of not forgiving others? Matthew 18, verse 34 to 35. God will not forgive us. Then the angry king sent the man to the torture chamber until he had paid every last penny due. So shall my heavenly Father do to you if you refuse to truly forgive your brothers. Secondly, we give the offending party the power to control our lives. I'm just so glad my son Usher is here with us. Him and I once invested heavily into a company, and something terribly went wrong. We lost everything. We started court cases, and we were going to take this guy to the cleaners. He was going to sit behind bars. And every time I thought of him driving in this white Toyota Prado. And here I said, I can't even pay off the installments of my car. And this thing was eating me and controlling my life. But without discussing it with him, virtually in the same day or same week, we both decided, let's forgive and forget. We did that. Do you know what was the result? That guy has become a dear brother in Christ. Dear brother in Christ. And all is forgiven. And we are not worse off for that. We burn up on the inside. Resentment always leads to embitterment. Hebrews 12 verse 15 says, look after each other so that not one of you will fail to find God's best blessings. Watch out that no bitterness takes root among you. For as it springs up, it causes deep trouble, hurting many in their spiritual lives. Somebody said this. Unforgiveness is the poison we drink in the hope that the offender will die. My brothers and sisters, in both cases, old and new painful relationships, the key is trusting the promises of God with heartfelt awareness of how He forgave you through Christ. I think the text that puts this together most powerfully for me over and over again is Ephesians 4, verse 31 to 32. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander, skinder and slagbraat, be put away from you along with all malice. Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another as God in Christ forgave you. That is unconditionally. Continually cultivate a sense of amazement that in spite of all your sins, God has forgiven you through Christ. Be amazed that you have peace with God. It's because of this sense of amazement that you and I have peace with God that makes the heart tender and forgiving. And my brothers and sisters, extend this to others 70 times 7. Forgiveness may be thrown back into your face. It certainly was thrown back into Jesus' face on the cross. That hurts. And it can make you bitter, and if you are not careful, don't let it. Keep being more amazed that your wrongs are forgiven than that you have been wronged. Be amazed that you have peace with God. You have peace with your soul. Your guilt is taken away. Keep trusting God. He knows what He is doing. Keep His glory, not your success or on your being effective in peacemaking of your relationships. Keep His glory supreme in the treasure chest of your heart. My brothers and sisters, you see, it is not about us. It is all about Him, His glory. It is not about our little hurts. Your unforgiveness and my unforgiveness tarnishes the image of Christ in us. And we then do not display or reflect the glory of God. My brothers and sisters, Deleuze gave me the scripture. Christ was the expressed image of God's glory. If we say we are in Christ, we should be the expressed image of that same glory. And then you and I will be like the angels. Glory to God the highest, the first thing, and peace among His people in the is the second thing. That God would get the glory and that you would know peace. May the God of peace give you peace. So I want to conclude with this. In the past, when I had the opportunity to stand here, I testified about how God showed me how to practice the presence of Christ in my life. How to practice the presence of Christ. Colossians 1:27, Christ in me, my hope of glory. My brothers and sisters, because the key to successfully walking and living in the Spirit is to be continually conscious of Christ in you. Not to become conscious of Christ on Sunday morning when the band starts playing or when we are doing intercession. That is religion. It's no longer I that live, but it's Christ who lives in me. And that must not become just part of my theology. It must become a reality. I have died, but I've got to practice that. It's I no longer live, Christ who lives in me. Now I want to read you a quote from Graham Cook. He says, practice your peace every day. Soldiers practice with their weapons till they become instinctive, until they are intuitive, and instinctive power takes hold. Practice with your weapons. I believe peace is a weapon. I believe rest is a weapon. Practice it until it's instinctive and intuitive, until you walk in it, until you know how to take a step back into the presence of God, into the peace of God, and into the rest of God. I repeat, may the God of peace give you peace. I'm going to ask Asha and Veronica to minister to us in song. Afterwards, I want to give you an opportunity to respond, just in prayer, or in a word or in testimony, to this word this morning. Just sit there while we minister to you.
It's my next song that's on Psalms and Omo. Lord, for your glory, we sing your praises. As my dad was speaking, I remember this guy. Wat was ingedoen het. And after a few years, it took us a few years, I just got an SMS from him. So ek sien hom heeltyd in Stellenbosch. For 15 jaar sien ek hom ry. And he just SMS'd me. It's one day, sê net, nou moet jy weet, is honderde duisende rande, ne? And he just says, forgive me. You don't allow the Lord to help you. En ek, so makkelijk. It's not, verstaan, you just try and say, forgive me. Ek gaan nie so makkelijk afkom van dit af nie. If you don't have peace with yourself, then you won't be able to forgive him. And today we are working together, me and him. We are colleagues. Yeah, this song is saying it, that Lord, for your glory, we sing your praises. I think it's a well-known song. We're just going to sing it together. If you don't know it, we'll sing it just once through. You can wait to spill.
Spirit and truth, lift our hearts, we lift our lives to you. We offer all we are for the glory of you. Let's sing the first verse again. Lord, for your glory, we sing your praises. We magnify your holy name. And all for your glory, Lord, we bring blessing. We seek to honor you all of our days.
Come on.
And we lift our hands.
Yes.
And we lift our praise to you. We worship all you are in spirit and truth.
Come on.
And we lift our heart.
Yes.
And we live our lives to you. We offer all we are for the glory of you.
We lift our hands, come on.
And we lift our hands, oh Lord. We lift our praise to you. We worship all you are in spirit and truth. We lift our hearts, oh yes. We live our lives to you. We offer all we are for the glory of you. We offer all we are for the glory of you. We offer
Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord, that you have forgiven me. I realize, Lord, even if I was the only man living on earth, you would have still died for me. Lord, but you expect from me to do the same. To all those who have wronged me, hurt me, to be sensitive to those that whom I have hurt. Lord, that we will just love each other. Because by the love among us, the world has to admit that God is in our midst. Father, I pray for every brother and sister of mine here this morning. Lord, that your peace will become such a reality in our lives this year. Lord, that we would enjoy this peace that we have with God. Lord, that I would make peace with myself. That I would have peace in my soul. And that as far as I can, that I will live in peace with my brothers and sisters and the other people around me. May your name be glorified in Jesus' name. And the body of Christ said, hallelujah. Brothers and sisters, friends, if there's anybody here who hasn't made peace with God, I invite you, please come forward and we will pray with you while the others leave to enjoy a cup of coffee and fellowship. And especially all our new friends, go and introduce yourself and love them to pieces. All right. If there's anybody here who hasn't got peace with God, please come forward. Thank you.